With that grand introduction, right, let's jump into Colossians 3. Let's do this. Let's reset our brains a little bit. If you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to read a few verses. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12 down to verse 17. This is the word of the Lord. Paul writes, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has complaint against another," which rarely happens in the church, "forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Right, this is the word of the Lord, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can have a seat. I will forever, any Forrest Frank fans in the room, I just have his song stuck in my head when I say, "And all God's people said, amen." No? Okay, you don't know it. All right, that didn't work. Okay. Hey, if you were here last week, we were in Colossians 3. We're really just kind of picking up where we left off. And the last week we went through the first 11 verses, which was just Paul basically sort of saying, hey, you have a new identity in Christ. Okay, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, you've confessed, repented, you say Jesus is Lord and Savior, you have a new identity. And because of that, there's an old you that you've got to put off, right? The old self. You've got to put off the old self. And we talked some about that last week. But when you put something off, you have to put something else on. Right? Otherwise, you are naked, or as they say in the 606, naked, okay? That's just where I grew up, okay? And so here Paul's telling us what to put on. Verse 12, he says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." All right, so let's talk about that list quickly. All right, first things we got to put on. Paul says your identity is in Christ. Here's what you put on. The first thing in that list, compassionate hearts. Right, it's this idea of when you see a need, right, or you have an awareness of a need, and it moves you to act. Right, it moves you in a deep and powerful way. Right, if you have a King James version, it actually translates that compassionate hearts as having bowels of mercy, which is fun, right? It's actually a more literal translation of the Greek, but if you start saying your bowels of mercy have been moved, that's weird, okay? So anyways, right? Kindness, humility, meekness, right? It's this idea of you have a gentle spirit, right, that you're approachable. Your presence is sort of like your life-giving presence to people. And not only that, but you consider the needs of others before you consider your own needs, right? He says your patience, right? If you're in Christ, right, you've got to put on patience, right? It's this ability to lovingly endure with others, even when, maybe especially when, it's really difficult. Okay, it's the quality that will be strengthened and developed whenever you sign up to volunteer in our kids ministry, right? Patience, especially when the pastor is long-winded. Okay, listen, kids serving kids ministry just helps you be more like Jesus. That's what we're about here. All right, so he goes on in verse 13, and verse 13 is really how he applies those things. So in verse 12 is, hey, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and then here's how you actually apply that in verse 13. You bear with one another and you forgive each other. Okay, you bear with one another and you forgive each other. That's how you exercise compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Right? And he roots all of it in the gospel, because the little phrase at the end of verse 13, he says, like, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Right? So these characteristics, these sort of Christian character qualities that he's telling you, hey, you got to put these on, right? Then you got to exercise them in these ways. He roots it all in the truth of the gospel. And so if I could connect the dots here, right? He's saying to the Colossians and to us, the reason that you are God's chosen, as he said in verse 12, the reason you are God's chosen, the reason you have a new identity in Christ is because God looked on you with compassion. Right? He was the first one to show compassion. He was patient with you in your sin and your rebellion. Right? He was patient with you. In humility and meekness, he wrapped himself in human flesh, took on the form of a man named Jesus. Okay, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, right? To die in your place so that your sin could be forgiven, and it's his kindness towards you that leads you to repentance. So all these things that Paul's saying, put these things on, he's just pointing back to the gospel. He's like, this is where all this comes from. Right? So really, when we put on the characteristics and qualities of the new self that Paul tells us to put on, what we're doing is we are displaying the gospel, right? In our relationships with one another, we are putting on the new self, and in doing so, we're displaying the gospel in our relationships with one another. And then he goes on to verse 14, and he says, and above all these, right, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And really, that's just kind of like a summary statement, okay? Right, those qualities in verse 12, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, they really could all just be condensed into one word, right? Which is love. Right? It's the reason that when some people ask Jesus what the greatest commandment was, he says, love God and then love your neighbor as yourself. It could all be sort of summarized in this one word, love. Right? When you love people, you have a compassion towards them, right? Or bowels of mercy towards them. Okay, when you love people, you have, like, there's kindness, there's meekness, there's gentleness, humility. Right? When you love people, you bear with them, you endure. When you love people, you forgive them. Right? Above all these, put on love. And it's that kind of love that enables us to live in what Paul says here is perfect harmony. Okay, perfect harmony. I don't know if you like musical, but harmony is when you got a bunch of different sounds that are like, they're all their own unique sound, their unique pitch, their unique tone, but they all come together and make something really beautiful at the same time. Okay? That's what we're called to, and that's what love enables us to do, right? And Paul goes on, verse 15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Right? Because where there is compassion, where there's kindness, where there's humility, where there's patience, where there's love toward one another, right, that's a place where peace can exist. Okay? That's a place where peace can exist, and it's meant to exist in the church, which is the body of Christ, which is what Paul says here, the one body that Paul mentions. Right? It goes on in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Right, this is just another like practical implication or application of a body that is united and marked by like a real deep love for one another. Okay, like when we love each other, we will do what Paul says here. We will build each other up in teaching and instruction. Right, build each other up in the truth of God's word. Help each other to grow in maturity by, right, teaching and instructing one another in the truth of God's word. Okay, but there's also the flip side of that. He says, teaching and admonishing. Right, that word admonishing just means warning. Okay, or like sort of like rebuking in a sense. Okay, and this is like sometimes it doesn't always feel like love, but the truth is in a community, in a body, in a church, where there is where there is compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience, and where we bear with one another and where we forgive one another, part of what it means to teach one another is in love is when we see a brother or sister going astray, we say, hey, what are you doing? Okay, remember, this is all rooted in identity, which is what we talked about last week. All right, we have a responsibility to one another as a family. When we see a brother or sister going astray, living in their old identity, like we have a responsibility in love to like reach out and say, hey, what are you doing? Right, that's not who you are. Right? This behavior or this action or this path you're going down, it is not consistent with this identity that you claim. Like we have that responsibility to one another. But again, it can only happen in an environment where there is genuine compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, love, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Okay, and then you've got, Paul talks about singing, right? Which maybe seems a little bit out of place. Okay, you've got all these commands about, okay, we got it. We're supposed to love one another. Great. We're supposed to teach and admonish one another. Okay. We're supposed to sing to one another. Like what do we do with that? Okay. Well, first, God commands it, so we should do it. Okay, that's the main reason. God says, hey, you should sing. I'm like, okay, we should sing. But I actually read this week that there is research, like verifiable research that suggests that when people sing together, like it actually improves their health and well-being. Okay, for example, this is a quote from an article I read this week. It is not a Christian article. Like it's just some medical thing. Okay. It says, there is a growing body of evidence drawing an undeniable link between singing and improved well-being. Singing is proven, it's talking about, in the context of the article, it's talking about singing together. Singing together is proven to release endorphins and oxytocins. I will pretend to know what those words mean, which is known to stimulate feelings of trust and bonding, while also eliminating anxiety and depression. Like, that's what singing together does. Like, this might sound crazy, okay? I might sound crazy, but hear me out. Could it be that the one who created and designed our bodies and then commanded us to sing together designed our bodies in such a way that we are more physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, and therefore spiritually healthy when we sing together? I know that's absurd, but maybe it's true. Okay? Right? I love when science catches up with the Bible, is really what I'm getting at here. All right? Let me bring it back together. So we just kind of worked through the first 16 verses, right? Kind of dancing back and forth all over the place. But really, there's a common thread that ties all of this stuff together, right? All these commands that Paul has just given, right? there's a common thread that ties it all together. And in fact, if you take anything away from this morning, here's what I want you to take away, is that growing in Christ-like character requires Christian community. Right? It requires Christian community. First, it's explicit in the text. In fact, I'm gonna read it again and sort of highlight some of these phrases. I think they'll be on the screens too. But it's explicit in the text. He says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Again, that's many pieces coming together in one. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So it's like explicit in the text. There's one another, each other, a body, harmony, together, okay? But it's also implicit, okay? And here's what I mean. You cannot, it is impossible, you cannot grow in compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience on your own. Like you can't do it. It requires you to be in relationship with other people. Okay? It requires you to be in a meaningful relationships. You cannot bear with one another on your own. Right? You cannot forgive each other in isolation. Right? If you're going to bear with one another and forgive each other, it requires you to be in the close enough relationships to where there's a good chance like other people are going to annoy you, and so you have to bear with them, or they're going to hurt you and you have to forgive them. Right? You can't do those things apart from meaningful relationships, okay? And again, Paul's imagery that he uses even implies relationships and community. The whole idea of harmony we've already talked about, right? The image of a body, right? It's one body, but it's made up of a bunch of different parts that are all kind of working together in unity, okay? It requires relationships. And I think just what I want you to see is that like deep relationships, right? Deep, meaningful relationships with other believers. Okay, emphasis on believers. That's in context when he says one another. That's what he's talking about in the context of the church. Deep, meaningful relationships with other believers are the soil in which spiritual maturity grows and flourishes. Right? You can't do it alone. And the challenge that you and I face in that is that we live in a wildly individualistic Western culture that prioritizes the individual over the community and is discipling us into deeper and deeper and deeper levels of isolation. Right? That's the culture we're living in. For example, I can have a bajillion friends on Facebook and not be known by any of them and not really know any of them. And I feel like I'm connected because I can just lay in my bed at night and just scroll through a phone, but I'm not connected to anybody, man. Okay? You can, when I want to catch up with someone that maybe I at one time had a relationship with or maybe even still do, again, I can pull out my phone and go find some images and see what's going on in their lives and kind of feel like I've caught up without ever like having a meaningful conversation or connection with them. It's like fake community. I'm in isolation, but I kind of feel like I'm connected in my mind. Okay, it's a cheap imitation, all right? And then to the same point, I looked up this week just because I was curious. So the first smartphone, or the iPhone anyways, came out in 2007, which means we have people this year, 2025, entering into adulthood that don't know life without a smartphone. And I think if you just pay attention long enough, what you see is, and listen, I am not anti-young people, next generation. In fact, I think we're way too hard on them most of the time. But one thing I have noticed, like there's an entire generation that's been discipled by a smartphone and have no idea how to have a substantive conversation with a human being. You know? Right? And listen, let's not just talk about young people. Let's talk about us. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. How many of you, when somebody calls you on your phone, you don't answer it? And then you just immediately text them back, hey, what's up? Some of y'all got hit with some strays on that one, didn't you, right? Like, we're losing our ability. That's what I'm saying. The culture is discipling us to live in greater and greater levels of isolation, you know? And listen, we don't have time to talk about what is the rise of AI. What is that going to mean for us as a civilization, okay? To make us more isolated and less human, okay? I'm telling you, at some point in the future, like within the next century, somebody's going to do, if we make it that long, somebody's going to do a deep study of what the internet and smartphones and social media and AI has done to us as humans, and it's going to be terrifying. Like, it's going to be terrifying because we are made, divinely designed, hardwired for community and relationships with one another. Like, we just are. The first time in all of creation that we see that something was not good was when Adam was alone. Right? You can go back to Genesis. God creates Adam, puts him in the garden, gives him some work to do, and then God's looking at it, and he's like, it's not good that he's by himself. I'm going to give him a helper fit for him. Right? And yes, that's a wife, but it's more than that. It's another human, like he's made hardwired for relationships. We all are. Right? We all are. And that's true for all people, but it's especially true for the people of God, because community and relationships are where we learn and live out the implications of the gospel. Right? We are made for community with one another. And so I want to land the plane. I got three things, and then we're going to sing together just like Paul told us to do, and you guys are going to feel yourselves getting healthier as we do it. Okay? Here's what I got. I got concession, a confession, and a challenge. It's very Baptist of me, right? Concession, confession, challenge. Here's the concession. Community and relationships are hard. They just are. Especially the older you get, and you got work, and you got kids, and you got all these responsibilities, like relationships, community, deep, meaningful relationships, like they're just hard, okay? But hard doesn't mean bad. It just means it's hard. It means it takes some effort and intentionality. And if I can be honest, and I've probably said this myself at some point, but one of my pet peeves is when I hear someone say the phrase, we're looking for community. Okay? And here's why. I mean, I get what people are saying. Like, they want to find a place where they fit and they can plug in. I get it. I totally get it. But community is not, like, community is cultivated. Right? You don't find community by picking up a rock and be like, oh, there it is. Like community is built. Relationships are built. Over time, there's consistency. It means like you got to plant yourself somewhere and say, these are my people, come hell or high water. These are my people. I'm committed to them. They're committed to me. We're going to put in the hard work and the effort and the time and the intentionality. I'm going to allow myself to be inconvenienced. I'm going to allow myself to be hurt. I'm going to allow myself to be whatever, right? I'm going to allow myself to be annoyed so that I would learn what it's like to live in close relationship with people that care deeply about me, that can encourage me, that can challenge me, that can hold me accountable, that can support me, that can pray for me. Right? It takes work. Right? None of us are going to drift towards it. Because again, we're being discipled to just drift off. Let me just go over here where I'm alone, I'm isolated, it's much easier. Okay? But listen, relationships take time, effort, and energy. And listen, all the best things in life take time, effort, and energy. All the best things. Okay, so that was my concession. Like, relationships are hard. They take effort. Okay, here's my confession. Any Usher fans in the room? No? My 90s kids, you got that one. The rest of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Here's my confession. I have done a poor job leading us in this as a church. Okay, I just have. Like, and I'm owning that before you. Like, we have flirted with like life groups and discipleship groups and home groups, and we've flirted with some of that stuff, but we, like, in my time here, we've never just kind of pushed our chips all in and said, we've got to figure this out. Okay? And so, like, I'm owning that because I do think I've done a poor job leading us into that as a church. But with that said, like, I know this is an area we have to grow and develop. Like, I just know it is, okay? I even have a meeting with a few people tomorrow to start trying to figure out how can we make up some grounds in this area, okay? So just know, like, yes, I'm aware I haven't done a good job. I'm also aware in trying to actively move us in that direction. Okay? And here's my challenge. So concession, confession. My challenge is this. I just want you to lean into this whole idea of community. Okay, one, there are some environments, excuse me, there are some environments for you already. Okay, there's two groups that meet here at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning, or one currently meets, one's going to rev back up here in a couple weeks, September the 14th, I think, if that's a Sunday. So there are a couple of environments that are already ready for you. One's a men's group. One is a mixed group, just men and women. We've got a couple here that leads a home group each week that I haven't talked to them personally, but they may be willing to accommodate you. I won't say their names just in case. All that to say, like there are in some environments already, but Lord willing, there will be more. And so, like, give us a little bit of patience and grace as we try to figure out how can we do that? How can we facilitate that? How can we make that happen? But when we lay those things before you and say, okay, here are some options for you to step more fully into this idea of community and relationship, like, my challenge to you is to just lean into it, right? To say, if that's the place, like, if those are the environments where spiritual maturity grows and flourishes, then that's a space I need to be in, okay? And here's where I'll land the plane with this. And this is just kind of like me dreaming. Like, what might the Lord do? Like, what might the Lord do in, but then also through a church, like, that is committed to living out the truths of the gospel and the implications of the gospel in deep relationships with one another? What might the Lord do through a church who is committed to living that out in such a way that the world would see? What would it look like? What might the Lord do? I don't know. But gosh, I'd like to find out. I'd like to find out. All right, would you pray with me? Lord, we come to you this morning and grateful for your word. I am grateful just as I, and even as I have the, both the responsibility and the privilege of preaching your word. I get to look out at men and women that that I've come to know and love and have developed relationships with. I'm grateful for that. And Lord, I pray that you would do that in us, that we would, to use the language we use all the time, that we would just continue to grow together as a family. I pray that you would cultivate here in this place just a community of people where there's deep relationships, where we are rooted together with one another, where we are encouraging one another, where we are living in such close relationships that there will be times where we have to bear one another because we drive each other crazy. That there will be times where we have to forgive each other because we've hurt one another in some way. And that's going to happen if we live in the kind of relationships I think you call us to. And so, Lord, my prayer just right now in this moment is that you would just begin to birth some desires in the hearts of your people, that that you would help them to see that community is something they need, relationships are something they need. I pray for the man or woman in this room that might feel isolated here this morning, like they've just got nobody that they can share their stuff with or be encouraged by. I pray, Lord, that you would just bring those relationships to life, or that you would connect people just supernaturally. I think, man, just the church is meant to be a place where people who have seemingly nothing in common have the most important thing in common. And that's a relationship with Jesus. And so would you unite our hearts around that? Would you grow us into a church where community is like just a normal part of our rhythms? And then, Lord, would you use us as a church to display your goodness and your glory, your gospel to a watching world through our relationships with one another? We love you. We praise you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.